I do dog walking on the side, and one day I got this new client, a new dog. First day out walking it, it just lunged at my face and just practically tore off my nose. After it was all over was the pain. And something like that stays with you. I couldn't look in the mirror, just I didn't want to know what I looked like afterwards. With the emotional and physical trauma, there's also the money. Where am I going to get this money to recover and look like myself again? I didn't know who to contact. I ended up talking to my dad, and he told me to talk to the advocates. They walked me through every step, and I never saw a single bill. Lots of plastic surgeries, lot of tears, but the advocates got me a settlement that covered everything, and then some. I am so glad I made that call.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. With us, you can focus on healing from a dog bite, and we'll handle everything else.
And welcome back to another great episode of Three Fat Truckers. This is your old buddy Dave here, wishing everybody a wonderful, cold, snowy apocalypse, thunder rolling down, hell freeze over Saturday.
Well, my favorite thing I seen was the pictures of each state where it looks like a three-year-old took his crayons and colored it, and they would put that up for the actual radar footage.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Hey, I'm Steve. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next week. Oh, wait a minute. I guess we're going to do a show here.
Yeah, let's do a show here. By the way, guys, you can find us everywhere out there if you get on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube.
What about why?
You can look up Three Fat Truckers. We're all over the place. And if you want to hunt us up on our email address, it's threefattruckers@gmail.com. threefattruckers@gmail.com. And just pretty much Google Three Fat and we come up somewhere. There's a lot of space we take.
Well, so, can you remember when we first started this? That
no.
The word, I'm well, old. You're the old one. You were trying to get our name and stuff on certain areas, and they wouldn't do it because it wasn't politically correct or yep. wasn't friendly, the yep. word fat.
Yep. Speaking of fat and not friendly, did you know since COVID, when COVID hit, McDonald's got rid of the wraps, the salads and everything, and never brought them back since COVID? COVID
really?
Hit, they got rid of all that. Yeah, I seen a little TikTok on
so
that.
So they're
today.
Not, because they figured out that people couldn't afford a $10 salad.
Yeah.
They'd buy 10 of them damn chicken fingers for a buck.
They got rid of the wraps, the salads. I mean, it was funny listening to some of the stuff. And I'm like, well, see, COVID did some good, because why would you go to McDonald's for a salad? So that's
well,
kind of against the rules.
It was all the healthy eating that put a bunch of people in jail. Don't you remember? The Subway, Jared?
Well, I don't think
that didn't have to do with healthy eating. Oh, I guess he was a fat guy, ate subs at Subway, got a contract with Subway to be their spokesperson, then they figured out he was a pedophile because he liked kiddie porn.
Boy, that took a weird turn from
it
McDonald's
took a
to kiddie porn.
Didn't
yeah,
it?
That's true. Welcome to Three Fat Truckers. You don't never know what you're going to get when you come here.
I was waiting for Ronald McDonald to have some kind of
scandal with the
story scandal here. You know,
well, we already had one, wasn't it? Hamburglar? Wasn't he already in trouble? And you know, McGrinnis. He was in stripes all the time. If you go back,
stripes.
You know. I seen some of the things, some of the foods they did away with and tried. They tried a pizza at one time. McDonald's did. They had chicken fingers. They had the Mick.
They all, as they used to say, jump the shark. All do eventually. To
oh
try
yeah,
something.
It had the they weren't onion rings. They were called McRings.
I don't
McRings or McChicken flake or McOnion flakes or something like that. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, they tried everything, you know.
They just put the initials MC Mick in front of anything.
Oh, yeah, they
and
do that.
Incorporated it in McDonald's. Well, in high school, I knew a girl named Shelly that worked at McDonald's, and we always called her McShelly. It just sort of stuck, you know.
Well, now everything's iPhone, iPad, iTunes, you know. Instead of everybody putting an I in front of everything, make it sound all computerized and corporate, and you know.
I don't know. Some of the we was talking about some of the fast food restaurants and stuff. They've all tried to change their menus over the years, you know, to accommodate the new fad as far as diets and, you know, what's happening. And then you always have these groups where they're like, we think the McRib should be there all year round.
Yeah. And it comes out.
I'll start a Facebook page, you know.
It comes out in December every year, I think, is one of the times it comes out. It's always like the 1st of December. And I think around the 4th of July or something.
Well, the problem I have with it is what we talked about, the one show where I've been places or seen how they make this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed a cardboard box frozen, open up, and it's nothing but McRib patties. It looks like, the only way I can describe it is like somebody's foot in a flip-flop that was frozen.
I used to buy boxes of those and sell them during Rib Festival Oh, well, I had 38 cents in them, and I get $5 for the sandwich all day long. So.
We're getting a little peek behind the curtain there, Mr.
There
Og.
You go. Yeah. Everybody goes, why do you sell them? I go, people ask me for them, and they're stupid.
You slop sauce on something and some onions, they don't know what it is.
No, and you got to have the pickle. The pickle makes that sandwich.
Is that what it is?
Reason. Yeah. It's
the pickle. I like pickles. So,
so do I. So.
Okay. I love pickles. I hate fucking cucumbers.
Really?
Yeah, I cannot eat cucumbers because I didn't know. I don't like cucumbers because they make me burp.
Okay.
And you always taste them later. Did you know that there are burpless cucumbers that you can buy?
No, I didn't know that.
I'm dead serious. I did not know that.
Cucumbers in a salad, and I don't like the long pickles that you get like at the hot dog place or the Italian sub place. No, I like the hamburger chips. Or the cut up, the nice sour hamburger chips.
And Clausen pickles, I love them, man.
And I also like sweet pickles with a real bitey cheese. If I can get some, you know, extra double, extra sharp or some, and get the sweet pickles.
Are you dipping pickles in cheese sauce?
No, I just take the cheese.
A little overboard there, aren't we?
That's the best part about being a fat guy. Like I told you last week, knowing you guys, I ain't never getting skinny at this point.
Old Larry Cable guy, my dad ate gravy on everything but booze, lived the ripe old age of 45.
That's right.
I think that was it.
So did you have a good this week?
Weather was up and down, sort of, and just busy trying to prepare for this supposedly godforsaken weather we got. I mean, like I said, everybody's got a different story on what each station's different, and whatever they tell you an hour later, it's different again.
Yep. Well, they said here we're supposed to get anywhere from a half to 700 inches. So
a half to seven.
Or somewhere in there.
It's supposed to be 2, but it could be 55 this afternoon. We don't know yet.
Yeah, and
depends if the sun comes out.
The one it kills me is like, oh, Texas is getting nice and everything. Yeah, Monday they'll be 80 degrees and sunny again. So really, stay in for the weekend.
They might be flooded because everything melted.
Right, yeah. It might be flood problems. But
That storm's coming in yesterday. We're sitting there watching that movie Twister.
Oh, that's
it's the second one, not the first one.
Yep.
And watching all these storms and stuff, I'm like, man, and some of the footage they have, and it could be CGI or whatever, but it's pretty cool as far as the twisters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, we're supposed to get 12 inches of snow.
Well, did you ever go to Orlando or to, what is it? It's not Disney World, it's the other one.
And they Epcot. Busch Gardens.
Yeah, whatever.
E-World.
They had the Twister ride there. Universal Studio.
Universal, yeah.
Yeah, they had the Twister ride there, and it was actually pretty neat.
Well, I'll tell you what, that truck they had in that show, I'm like, he's got augers. He's got a dually Dodge.
Yep.
It's got these augers that go down and stake him to the ground and sucks the truck down. And I'm like, that is a pretty cool idea if it was actual. I don't know if they really got there for them storm chasers or not.
I know they have a not that I'd want to be. I've seen that
in the direct path of a tornado, but
well, in the ride down there in Universal, you know how you see the first movie where the semi sliding down the road and hits them and knocks them off the log at the very end, the big. You're standing there, and they have a full size semi tip over and roll right at you as you're standing there, and it's like freaks you out.
It's got to be all aluminum, nothing to it.
It's all rolling around and water spraying. It was pretty cool. Fiery explosion. It was pretty neat down there. So they're good at building themes. That's the best part about going to a theme park is just to forget about reality and enjoy what's going on around you.
I remember. Well, I'm what? Look, I think I hold in.
Are you old?
I've got to think about it. Back when I was a kid and I lived in Florida, we used to go to Disney and Busch Gardens pretty regular. It's just something you got to do since you lived there.
Yeah.
And back then it wasn't $200 to get in, you know, it was 18 bucks or something. You know, it was
season pass cost you 30 bucks. Well,
back in the 70s it was cheaper. But I can remember going there, and the best part, like, I love Busch Gardens out of all of them down there. And the best part was the machines. I think we might have talked about this one time, where you'd put your money in it, and it was an extruder where it would put plastic in a mold and then pop you out a dinosaur or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when it come out, that plastic was like a million degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And you just reach in and grab it, and then you're jumping around crying because you burnt the shit out of yourself.
Well, didn't they made those toys back in the 70s where you could make the mold?
Regular,
toy. You heated it up, plugged it in like a soldering gun, and it heated up. You poured your little fluid in there that was outrageous to replace once you used the original ones in the box and make your little soldiers and...
But at Busch Gardens, they always had the beer garden, and that's where all the dads were.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting there drinking beer while mom was pushing the kids around.
Well, when we were at Busch Garden, I was big in water skiing, so I loved watching the water skiers when they would
stand cool on their shoulders. Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool back in the day. I don't even know if they still do that now.
I don't even know if half of it's still there anymore. I mean, like I said, it's been, 30 years or more?
30, 40 years?
40 years, yeah.
Yeah. I followed this girl this morning. I got up and was drinking coffee, and there was this girl on...
That's called Stalking
Dave. Well, it was on YouTube, and she was talking about the behind the scenes of what Disney was and how they built it and what they wanted to do. Yeah. And it sucked me in. It got me good for a good hour, you know, going, damn, I was making bacon sitting there watching the whole thing this morning.
Well, what you don't realize, that I mean, the only reason I even remember hearing about it was somebody that worked there would say that there's an elaborate tunnel system underneath Disney World.
Yep, I've seen it.
Where they can go from one end to the other, means lickety-split, kind of deal, like a tram and everything underground. And
well, they only did it in the original one. They've tried building it after that, and it's not feasible for what they do. But I got
to go
down
there. Well, they're under the water table.
Well, yeah, but they built it ground level, and then actually the land they built up around it because they dug a lake. But yeah. I was down there for Republic, and I got to haul the garbage out of there. So, and all the garbage. Yeah. And it all blows through this big suction thing down to compactors and compacts it in. It's pretty cool. And I got to do the one in California, which was pretty cool too, to see the behind the scenes stuff is neat when you go there. So,
was that garbage over there sort of smoking because it's all flaming?
You would be surprised. Just for an example, the average person knows what they do 3 semi loads a day of garbage out of California. 3 semi loads of just the garbage. And they do 2 40 yards boxes a day of just plastic bottles and 1 20 yard. Do you know they change the flowers and the plants for every 3 days? They don't kill them.
They dig them fresh and colorful. Yeah,
they dig them up and replant them, and they have a giant greenhouse behind the scenes.
I was going to say, do they have their own? this is going to be really racist, but we're not here to offend anybody. We're here to offend everybody.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have their own mobile home park out behind there for all the Mexicans to live in. Want to do all the gardening for them.
You would be surprised. There is it's quite a elaborate thing behind the park because I actually got to go back there for 2 weeks and work there.
Was there a fence between the park and whatever's back there?
Well, it's, Yeah, that's how it's built. Like behind, like if you would go down there too, it's a small world. Right behind that is the main gate for one of the thing. And in the back, everything's moving around. You know, they're getting their pop and stuff and getting everything set and studios. But when the parade comes and they bring the floats out, they lock the place down and then everybody gets on those old airplane walkways to get up to get on the rides or the floats to go out through the parade, you know, the Lion King and all that and stuff. And it was pretty cool. And everybody runs around there on them, what's those little scooter two-wheel things you lean forward on?
Segway.
Yeah, they're all over the place. That's the main transportation down there. And I went right after 9/11.
Have you ever tried one of them?
No, because I can just fall down on the ground. I don't have to put two wheels under me to fall down now.
You can just do it.
Don't need the extra help. I would rather have four wheels. But so I went down there right after 9/11. They come out and walked around my truck every day before I went in there with the little mirrors underneath. The dog comes out, sniffed it. And then they have 4-inch steel pipes that come up out of the ground. And they would lower them and let me in. And then they'd raise them back up. And it was pretty neat thing. So
the only thing I ever had like that experience with the mirrors and stuff. Well, they didn't even have mirrors. I worked for, I ain't going to give the guy's name, but I worked at a pallet place right out of high school driving truck. And all the guys that worked at the pallet place were on work release. All had ankle monitors.
Yeah.
And the guys, all of them had them, except for the guy that ran the dock. And one day I am up in, trying to think what it is up there by the cemetery, where the nuns are up in northeast, northwest Indiana. What's the name of that town?
Yeah, I know where you're talking.
But I can't think of the name. But anyways, City? Over that way, yeah. I get pulled over by three county sheriffs, and I'm like, "What is going on?" They took one of the guys and threw him in the trailer as they were loading pallets and then started loading more so he couldn't get out. And I didn't know he was back there. And he rode all the way from south of Fort Wayne up there in the back of the trailer. And his monitor was tracking up there. And I'm like, I got nothing to do with this. Well, the guys that put him in there all got fired, thrown back in jail. But I'm freaking out. I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah, that is not. That's kind of like, well, even the guys smuggling drugs and stuff, a lot of those truck drivers I seen down there in Texas don't know that they're hauling, stuff in there. They go into the yard and pick up the trailer and get busted for smuggling and shit and didn't even know it was back there. So let me give a throw out here. I had a ass, shitty-ass week myself. Left and was heading over to mid-Illinois and got almost to Effingham and had my truck want to derate and had to stop and deal with some problems. And ended up
was the weather cold when it happened? It wasn't where you were freezing to the side of the room?
No, and it was sunny and beautiful out because it has been the last few. It's been cold, but it's sunny. So I get over to Effingham and have to deal with a death problem, a truck wanting to shut down because of timing out, and I had 4 hours left, and they wanted to derate. And once we finally figured it out and fix it, it's a stupid little simple thing, but the filter was plugged with that little crystallized white stuff from the DEF tank, and it wouldn't breathe, and it basically derated the truck because of a vent tube, which is stupid, but that's what it was. But the boys,
tell them the noise it made when you open the fill cap.
Yeah, you open the fill cap and it goes. I'm like, whoa, sucking in that plastic tank.
It was wanting some air. It was pretty much just a vapor lock kind of deal.
It's basically, yeah. We used to have the lawnmower do it all the time.
Lawnmowers, yeah. Cars in the 70s done that. You used to have to leave the cap just a little loose on the back, the one behind the license plate. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. So that's basically what shut me down for 24 hours. But the guys over there at Palmer's at Kenworth over there in Effingham. I got to throw them out a light. They threw me some love.
They treated you right for a change.
They even gave me some swag. They gave me a beer stein from Budweiser.
Did you give them a couple stickers or something?
Oh, lots of stickers and lots of stuff.
I said, I want to see these on the way. With you, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I keep it with me. So. Yeah. But they were pretty good. And I said, yeah, we're – the one guy goes – out of the Palmers, we're the cheapest of them all. And I go, yeah, I can tell you guys are cheap. You charged me for the damn paper floor mat that you put down to get in the truck. And he goes, no, I don't mean cheap. We're the least expensive of all the Palmers. And I said, oh, okay, that sounds better than cheap, because I ain't paying for the floor mat that you put down and in the little plastic bag you put over my seat. So, but... Well, we got 20 minutes in here. Let's give them a tease of what we're going to talk about, and then we'll take a little break.
Well, Dave, for some reason, wants to bring up the controversial subject of per diem, how it works, how it's the ways that it's legal and not legal, and if your company's screwing you or not, or if
and
your company's one of the good ones that's doing
be.
It right.
How it used to be how to it where used to it be. Ain't to be no more.
And how people used to take advantage of it and got caught and screwed.
Yep. So.
And they've changed more laws again. I mean, stuff's coming back around. So,
yeah.
We'll look into it here. We got a little bit of everything.
All righty. We'll be right back.
So my husband and I were driving home from a date night, and we were hit head-on by a drunk driver. It was awful. And we suffered head injuries, cuts all over, broken bones, and our car was totaled. And the insurance company called it an accident. Anytime it's a drunk driver, that's not an accident. They made a choice to get behind the wheel. So we decided that we were going to get help, and we called the advocates. They took care of everything. They were so great to work with. The settlement that they got for us was really good. It took care of all of those medical bills, property damage, time off from work, pain and suffering, really everything. It was so good. The advocates, they gave us our lives back in a lot of ways.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't pay for someone else's bad decisions. With the Advocates, you won't have to.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, them dogs were barking all night. I couldn't believe that they was trying to hump that raccoon like that. We're back.
Yeah. That raccoon was getting rock and rolling a little bit there.
Well, hey, first here, everybody knows, if you're, I'm sure, well, Richie knows, he's listening. There's crazy, crazy weather out there across this country going on right now. There's so many warnings and advisories and for snow, for ice, for rain, the wind. So just... be aware, especially any driver, you know, be careful out there. Be smart. No loads are worth your life. Think ahead and plan ahead. You're the captain of that ship that you're in. You're the one that says if it leaves or it doesn't, not the dispatcher that sits behind the desk and looks out his or her window and says, oh, it don't look bad to me out there. You can make it there. Don't fall for that bullshit.
Yes,
do what you feel. Do what you feel safe. Yeah.
Considering on Driver Appreciation Day, he's the only one that gets the cheeseburger they cook in the parking lot.
Yep. Do what you feel safe. Don't be an idiot. It's just your life, but it's the others out there with you. And trust me, some of them should have stayed home too. So please be safe and think first before you get out in the nasty conditions that we're supposed to be getting. So, but
yeah,
anyway,
don't be afraid to stop. That's for sure.
Yeah. Take a break. I mean, if it's shitty out there,
so
what the hell did you do?
I didn't do nothing. You're back now. I see, but
you disappeared on me.
I didn't do nothing. I just sitting here talking, going, well, the ice storm hit Steve. He's out.
No, I thought something hit you. I'm like,
nope.
I'm still talking away.
No, it was just whatever.
You were gone. What the hell? Take a hammer, hit it again.
Technology, yeah. You got to love it.
No, you don't. It sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I know. A vent tube and shut me down. So,
no, yeah. I still used to like stopping at the payphone at 10 and 2 each day to make check calls.
Oh, I'll take the technology.
I'll tell you what. When I first got that technology, it was a mobile phone and a cab over.
Yeah.
And it was wired down to the batteries, and they ran the wiring between the seat. And when it went up and down, it would cut the wires. And all of a sudden, I had a fire in the truck because it was cutting the wires. I'm like, yeah, this is good.
All the good stuff. So
anyway. So
let's talk about per diem.
It says what per diem means in trucking. Per diem is a daily allowance meant to cover a driver's meals and incidental expenses while they're away from home on the job. The term literally means per day. So, for drivers with W-2s and not an owner-operator, company drivers that get a W-2, you don't get a tax deduction yourself. Due to the current IRS rules, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, company drivers can't claim their per diem on their taxes anymore, which sucked because I used to do it all the time. It helped you. Hell,
it helped.
It was quite a bit of money.
Well, now that overtime's supposed to take care of that, going to bring your taxable income.
Not down. Everybody gets paid by the hour, though.
Yeah, I know.
you guys are one of the few, the proud.
The O'Reilly drivers. I can't say Marine because we're not Marines. So.
The company chooses to allocate part of your pay as non-taxable per diem instead of taxable wages. That portion is to cover your meals, incidental costs when you're traveling away from home. So it reduces your taxable income, so less taxes withheld. And there's a lot of shit here, but supposedly the maximum the IRS has set is $80 a day for the continental U.S., Alaska, Hawaii. That doesn't mean a company has to give you full $80 a day per diem. Just like old Big Daddy Dave there, you guys get, what, 40?
Yeah, we get 40 a day.
So just because it means he gets 40 doesn't mean the other 40 the company gets. It don't work that way. If they only get 40, that's it. The other 40 just disappears. It has nothing to do with anything.
And the 40 that they give me, they get to write off of their taxable yearly income. So if they would take 80 and write that off, they would be lying to the IRS and can get audited.
Yep, and get audited.
So that's how that all works. Now, they could give us 80 and then write off 80, but, you know, if you're a big fleet, that's a good chunk of money you're sending out there and then having to wait till the end of the year to write it off. So that's the other problem.
And that company has to have record of you being away from your home terminal, your home area, and...
Well, now they're using the logbooks. They can monitor everything now.
They can print it all off there because it shows what the times and, you know, GPS locator where you're at.
Back in the days, them paper logs worked real good for that.
Look how you want it. How was you in California Tuesday and back home Wednesday?
Yeah. But... just to let everybody know, if you really want to know what this is, it's irs.gov/, where'd it go here? Republic Days 15T of the Federal Tax Income Withdrawal. That's how you got to look it up. If you want to look it up, it explains it all right there so everybody will know what they're getting into and stuff. So, but besides that, I like it. I take that money weekly and I put it in a bank. I try banking that money I could do my grocery shopping off of it, but that's about what I spend.
And it says here, like you get paid by the hour. It says for drivers to get paid by the mile, so many cents a mile, it says, ask this question. It's very important. Did they reduce my cents per mile or base pay to create the per diem?
Yeah.
Is not per diem is not often extra money. It usually is part of the pay classified to save taxes. That's legal, but the driver should know. Also, note that lower taxable wages equal slightly lower Social Security earnings and can matter for loans, mortgages, and retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all that per diem is for food. It's not for room and board because most guys get that, but it's food. Anything you're out on the highway, you need snacks, drinks, whatever you need. That is a for you to survive out on the highway. And they talk a lot about it in this with the government. The trucking has its own split off of it, but the government does it because a lot of people do it for day traveling. You know, if you're in the government and you're IRS and you got to go to Cincinnati or drive somewhere, so you know it gets into a lot of that. So that's how it basically works, but it's good that you get it. Wish we would get more. Personally, I think it ought to be $50 a day. Well, I personally would love to have the $80.
Well, it used to be, Indiana used to be 62 or 64 for the longest time, when we were still able to claim
stuff. Right, because each state was a little different.
Each
remember
state
that?
Was different because it depended on the income and the total number of people. It depended on a bunch of things.
Yeah,
what state and the cost of stuff, because like Illinois was like $72. Indiana was like 62 or 60. It was always more in certain states.
And then
California
spent,
would be a bunch, you know, because it's expensive.
And then you'd spend 6 months with your accountant trying to figure it out. So,
Oh my God.
It was just like, just come on, simplify it. Just like we did the CDL license. Let's do the same thing.
They didn't simplify the CDL license.
Well, it's good in all the states. You don't need 16 different licenses now. And I don't know why you would have 16 different licenses. I don't know what I'm talking about. One license is all
I'll tell you
had.
What I'm dealing with right now, trying to get an IFTA plate and a few things and find companies and companies that got shitty MC numbers.
Mm-hmm.
States don't like them. They'll black flag them. And they're I went through this a couple of times already, a couple of different companies trying to figure to get a plate.
And is that why I see every hot shot and the DOT scale pulled over and they're out there doing
that? Well, the hot shot part is
flatbeds.
Well, no, it's whether they have CDL or non-CDL hot shots.
Right.
And anything that has more than
26,000.
Well, more than three axles or over 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a 48-foot trailer, which that's what I have, that's mandatory. See, they know you have to have a CDL. So as soon as they see you don't have a CDL, they shut them down.
And the other
and
thing
that's
is,
a lot of the biggest thing is not being licensed correctly.
And
not
yeah, the yearly inspection on the trailer.
Inspection on the truck.
They get
the
them
trailer,
guys for that
the
all the time.
The IRP plate. And yeah. I'm going through all that right now. And it's fun to try and get everything. But my problem is, too, the stuff that I'm looking into, the car hauling, there's so many of them out there. And when you I'll call OIDA and I'll give them a number, a DOT number, and the gal will do the rundown check for me. And she's like, you don't want that one. They've opened and closed five of them. And that's because they've had bad either a fatality, a wreck, or a bunch of bad out of services, so they'll close it and open up a new one.
Yep.
Close it up a new one. And that's the ones that get black flagged.
And that's one of the nice things about talking with OIDA, where you can on and do this. I mean, that is such...
Well, I became a member and stuff.
Yeah, but I was a member for a year. I think my membership's run out.
I did a 5 year, so...
We'll have to talk them down at the Matt show this year.
Yeah. The one gal I talked to, I told him we had an interview with the guy in the trailer. She's like, oh, really? We're going to look that up. You know, I'm like, yeah, check us out.
Yeah, we've done interviews with him, but yeah, we need to step up.
We'll hit a couple of the big ones this year down there and try and get some interviews. And
Yep. And so it's always good. You know, anytime these, and we hear everybody complain, but there are so many people we meet at Matt's that are out there to help drivers, help companies, help people really do what they want. And
and they're there to promote what they're doing. And there's not a whole lot of stuff that's free anymore. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
No.
Everything costs something. But most of these companies that are there, most of them, I'm going to badmouth a few later, but the last show, the parking.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
there's companies there that are there to do some good. OIDA's a good one as far as just if you're new into trucking or you've been in trucking for 50 years, I don't care. They are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Gladly to help answer any questions you have, steer you in the right direction, give you the help you need, or show you the direction you need to go to get the help you need. And that's hard to find anymore. There's not a whole lot of people willing or companies willing to help you out there. They're just out there to make a buck. And
OIDA is out there making a dollar too.
Oh yeah. No.
But
subscriptions and membership.
Right, membership. But they helped me out when I was an owner operator.
They're doing insurance now. They have their own
insurance.
I'm actually buying some insurance through them. But insurance and the permits and plates and anything you need, they can help you with. And
well, with me being a special...
It sounds like I'm doing an OIDA commercial, but I mean,
I know, yeah. With me just, doing specialty just, equipment...
They're good.
When I did specialty equipment here in Fort Wayne, and I had to work with the city of Fort Wayne, they required I had a $5 million carriage, and this was back in the 90s, which mm-hmm. was quite a bit then, but... I was able to get it, and they worked with me to get all this so I could do it just for the liability and stuff. So,
and now minimum's $1 million.
So, minimum. Yeah. Back then it was $100,000, but I had to get $5 million for the city. But like you said, a minimum. But it's just like the parking guys. That started out to be a good thing, and everybody gets greedy and thinks, well, we can make money at this, and we're all doing what we have
to do.
I'm
sure we'll see them at Matt's, and I'll be glad to sit down and talk with them.
And I'm glad that is a good thing if you're a owner-operator and you need someplace to park your truck when you're home. That's what I can see it can be. That's what I see it's best. It's not helping us out on the highway by generating more parking spots for us to use without being charged.
Well, it can generate more parking spots for us to use and still charge us, but don't charge us for the free ones that we've had all along.
Right. Yeah. And you know, how many times have I told you there's the government already owns all the parking they need. Every on and off ramp has anywhere from 3 to 15 acres. Yep. And them little triangles.
Like Texas on them service roads, you can put a truck stop in between them two driveways.
I'm telling you, they could pave them, put a trash can
They do use them to park in. I mean, and they'll get rutted. The dirt, it's dirt and gravel.
I know
that. They get rutted, but I mean.
Well, around here, every construction company uses it for a storage while they're rebuilding the highway. You deliver tanks right up there on 65, just south of Louisville, down there by the Speedway and the Petro. You and Herb deliver them big round sand tanks down there when they were redoing 65. And it was right in the middle. That's one that people use now for parking because they stoned it and they left it. You know.
Well, then you get some areas. More in the south, I would say, far as places that have closed and are like ghost towns anymore. You get off an exit, and there'll be 3 truck stops at an exit that are closed.
Yep.
And sometimes they'll have them barricaded off. Sometimes they don't, and you can just park in them.
Yep.
And, you know, and it'll get parked up terrible, ruts and holes, guys getting bottomed out, stuck.
Have you been nailed? I got nailed down there in Dandridge, down there going, was it Dandridge? I was getting ready to go into the Gap there, and I stopped at that exit where the little truck stop gas station, pulled in there. It's a pay to park. I didn't see it. They woke me up in the morning when they chained my tires off and told me I owed them $105 because I didn't prepay. And I'm like, yeah, that's the kind of, well, nobody parks there. The place is dead. Nobody's paying to park because you screw people. You know, if you'd have said, okay, you need to pay, I'd have said, okay, I'd have paid and whatever it was. But no, they wanted to be dickheads about it and fine me. And they charged me $105, I think.
My favorite is all the videos you see online where they'll get booted or they have these things now that stick to the windshield. It's like a suction thing.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, and it's probably the size, I want to say they're like 16 by 14. They put it right in the middle of the driver's side, and it vacuums down to the windshield. And you try and take it off, it'll bust your window. Yeah. There's ways to take it off. Showed. But then the getting booted and stuff, and it's for a company, and like at a Walmart, and you go in, Walmart's like, we have nothing to do with that. Well, okay, no problem. I need this angle grinder and a battery.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut it off and leave it there.
Well, the guy that booted me run a cable through my holes on my aluminum wheels and then up around my mirror and then locked it. So either I'm going to rip my mirror off since I roll.
I'd have cut it.
Well, yeah, I would have, but I mean, I have bolt cutters because I have to open the back door all the time.
I'd have cut it, took it off, and put it right on his with my lock. So there you go.
So it was a record company service down there that did it.
And
I'm like,
I don't know why I don't know why they think they can touch your property or do that kind of stuff. They're not the cops or something. I mean,
they're hired by the gas station that's controlling it. It's gouging you for the parking. So,
oh yeah.
So back in the day when you did per diem, so you would have to keep track of every state miles like you did with your fuel just to do your per diem, or did the company do all that for you?
I would go through my log books for the whole year because I'd have them all.
Even the illegal ones?
Yep. Even the ones with the crayons on it.
Nobody did that. Come on.
I'd mark, you know, keep track and mark how many days I was out and add them all up, and that's what I'd claim.
Yep.
So.
Something in your eye.
And there's times, like, what that information I just had up there, it said 50 miles. Well, back in the day, it was at least you had to be 100 miles away from your home terminal.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you guys ran out of hours and got back to Warsaw and you had to shut down and come back in the truck in the morning, you didn't get a per diem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you do, so.
Now you do, but yeah.
Yeah.
But back then, yeah, they wouldn't give it to you.
Trust me, I wouldn't have shut down Warsaw if I was on paper log.
I didn't shut down in Warsaw when I was on the e-logs.
Yeah, so.
That thing got shut off and PC'd or just turned off and drove in
to the house. So
yeah,
but then they get a little sticky about all that too. So oh well.
Yeah.
Are you talking to Richie? Have you talked to him? I wonder if Canada has the same per diem rates up there in Canada as we do.
He's
going to
tell you, well, that's like $20 Canadian or some shit he always does.
Well,
I think no, he's still listening.
Yeah, if it is, I wonder if it's was the exchange. They probably pay $100, which is only $20, you know, in Canadian, but that was still funny that Bill run into him last week. And Bill's MIA. I don't know what happened to Bill. Bill's supposed to be on here tonight, but must have had a bad incident this afternoon or something.
Yeah, I think he got later. We have five watching, now we got four.
So
I think he got some bad chop suey.
Got some bad chop suey.
Did you ever eat chop? Like it was called chop suey.
Yeah, it was called chop suey. Back in the 70s,
it was out of a can where it had one can on top of a can hooked together.
Well, it had the wet on the bottom and the dry on top, and you mixed them together. Yeah, my mom used to eat it.
You got them little chow mein noodles, the crunchies.
Now I know this is going to sound, I don't know. I never grew up with Mexican food. We never had Mexican food growing up because it wasn't a thing in the middle of Indiana and cornfields and stuff. I mean, once I got older and barely, and most of me knowing anything about Chinese food was rice-a-roni from Let's Make a Deal.
And that's San Francisco, that ain't
yeah. and then the little choy, like you said, cans that you see in the grocery store. That's all I ever knew about.
Okay, well, now, I think I've asked you this question before. How many Chinese restaurants have you been to and it's nothing but Mexicans in there eating?
Oh.
Bunches, right?
Most of them are pretty empty. The only place I like going to is
I'm saying the Chinese restaurants, there's always Mexican people in there.
There's nobody in there. We seem to be the only one.
But I've never seen a Mexican restaurant with Chinese people in it, ever.
Well, that is true, too, but I liked going to the Hibachi Grill. I like going over there. They give me I like the Tokyo buffet
up there on Coliseum. That one.
Tokyo. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's big. I like that one.
That's where we go at Christmas time. Christmas Day, we'll run over there and get the.
When I walk out of there, it feels like the fish are swimming in my belly.
But the problem is you get in the car, you turn the key on, as you drive by Burger King, you smell it, you're hungry again.
Look at Rich says he's thinking. The wife fills it out for me.
Oh.
Well, you ain't no help, sir.
You're no help either.
Oh,
maybe he can get one of them new electric cars.
Well, look at that. Prime Minister. He thinks his is 90 a day.
90 a day?
Well, so that's like 40 American.
Yeah, it's about down to 40 again. But up there, it's good. Well, everything costs so much more up there. So,
how much is a gallon of milk up there, Rich?
I don't know. I buy half gallons, and mine is usually $2.12 or $2 something from my
half.
Yeah, I don't. Wow. It'll go bad before I use it. I'm gone all week. You know, I don't got the luxury. I am going to make homemade.
You don't take milk with you?
I bought those little. What are they? Pints? Yeah, I've bought a couple of those. A couple times I do, but no.
Oh, I don't drink milk. I used to a lot, and I found out as I'm older here, I guess I'm lactose. I drink milk, man. I get gassy, something fierce.
Oh, so you're just like on the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'll do it on purpose. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you, bastard.
I don't really care. But every once in a while, a good cold glass of milk, I mean.
Oh, I love it. I love it, yeah.
Especially if you got like a piece of cake or something with, I mean.
Susie Q, cupcake, ding dong.
Little Debbie anything.
Yeah, a host of snowballs. Hostess.
Well, it is three fat truckers. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Fried pies.
But
what
do you normally take with you when you leave out as far as drinks and stuff? Do you take a bunch or you just pick it up on the road?
I drink nothing all week except coffee and water. Don't drink. I bought pop yesterday on the way home, a 2-liter, and it'll probably take me. I just don't drink it anymore because.
That's my thing. I try not to. And when I did the carnivore, I stopped drinking pop. Yeah. I didn't have pop for like 4 months. And I mean, when I drank one, I thought my brain was going to explode.
I drink a pop maybe 5 a year. And if I do, I kind of like Mountain Dew or that diet Mountain Dew. I like to, but sometimes I just feel in the mood for a cream soda or a root beer.
I like root beer.
Or I just get
zero root beer is good.
I don't, if I'm drinking it, I like going to the hot dog stand, get me 2 hot dogs and a root beer and a mug of root beer. And I, you know, then I say, give me a half gallon to take home with me.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that many times at the little hot dog stands up here. And I like, everybody likes Coney dogs and I like Spanish dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I like
bummies.
Yep. I like the Spanish better than the Coney, but, and of course you got to have cheese on them too. Everything got to have cheese on it. I am one of them cheese persons, but. This week, I'm taking beef stroganoff.
Beef stroganoff.
I'm going to take some ham steak with me this week. I got some fried potatoes I made. I'm going to have them. I'm going to have some. I made some baked macaroni and cheese with ham chunks in it. So that's going to be my menu. I pretty much come home on the weekend and cook food for the week because I don't buy nothing on the road. Ever, unless
I'll pretty much when I get started back at it, it's probably I'll hit the Walmart and buy what I need. And
yep,
I am cook everything right there on the road.
I am making homemade biscuits in the morning and gravy, and I'm going to take that and make that a meal too. So I'm going to get the flour out and make some biscuits in the morning. And I got my butter's in the freezer right now. I'm going to shred it down, fold it in. And make me some biscuits in the morning in the cast iron skillet, and then I'm going to make some gravy when I'm done with that. So,
yeah, I'm making some, I guess I'm going to call it like chicken pot pie soup, maybe.
Okay.
It's going to have some big old white
biscuits on top and bake it?
Nah, I'm going to have some big old white egg noodles in it with veggies and the heavy whipping cream and chicken. Okay, and
let me ask you this. My mom's a New York City girl, grew up, born, mm-hmm. raised in New York City. She would make chicken and dumplings as I was growing up.
Yep.
Now, the way she made chicken and dumplings, she would make the chicken broth, you know, that you cook the chicken down, put all the vegetables in it, sauce and everything. And then she would make dumplings out of biscuits, little round balls, and yep. then drop them down in there and cook them until they floated.
Yep.
And then everywhere around Indiana, I went, somebody say, you want chicken and dumplings? And I say, yeah.
And it's a flat noodle.
And I'm like, what the hell is this? This is not dumplings.
It's all different kinds. That's the way it is down here, is like that. You make your biscuit mix and you're dropping it by a spoonful in the boiling.
Yeah. And it makes the little ball, and they're almost dry in the middle.
No, they're fluffy. Fluffy in the middle. And,
yeah.
And, you know, the outside's done and sort of sticky from all the, it soaks up all the stuff. But
that's how my mom did it. And that's chicken and dumplings. Getting a noodle, that's like chicken noodle soup, just with a fat noodle.
Yeah. yep. Yeah, because I'll take a whole, like a 10-pound bag of chicken quarters, put them in the roaster with a bunch of chicken broth and let them go all night, and then shut them off, and I'll debone, de-skin everything, nothing but the meat left, and pour it all in a big pot and boil that, and then start mix up my biscuit mix, you know, my flour and stuff, and
start
dropping in spoons. Yeah, what vegetables
you put in?
I don't put any vegetables when we do that.
I like peas and carrots in mine. I don't know why.
I'm gonna do peas, carrots, green beans, and corn tomorrow. Yeah.
So
it's whether it being cold and shitty outside, soup. I like making soup.
So stuff do I.
Like that, whether it be beef vegetable or some chicken tortilla soup or, you know, whatever.
Problem is I want to make soup tomorrow. I want to make chili tomorrow, but I have
we take with you on the road, dude.
I do.
It'll either tear you up and you'll be shitty all week. I mean, it's a flip. You never know.
Well, the problem is I got to make a crock pot full of it, and I got two tubs in the freezer full of it right now. And all I got to do is warm it up. But I would rather make fresh.
I'd always make it like that, and then I'd put it in quart bags and freeze it.
That's what I did.
I could just drop the bag in boiling water, or put the whole bag, you know, let it thaw and throw it in the microwave. Or
your mom gave me. Your mom gave me some food last week. She had a bunch of food. She had too much food.
She's trying to clean out the truck.
She had to clean out her brother-in-law's freezer or something. She made a bunch of food, so she gave me food. And then,
she'll fill you up, trust me.
And then Clyde come into work, and we were leaving at the same time, another driver, and he goes, you want some food, Dave? And I go, why? And he goes, I brought too much. It won't fit in the fridge. I go, I packed mine full. I know about how much to bring. I don't. I said, put it in a bag, set it on the fender. It's, you know, 20 below. It's going to stay cold all week. So throw it in your side box or something. But
so where are you heading this week? Next week here? I guess it's Saturday. So next week.
Yeah, I'm just going down to Sykeston, Missouri after I got to do a short one over there and run some aluminum over to the Honda plant over there in Anna, Ohio, and drop off some ingots, and then come back and take my copper load down to Missouri to Shark Wire down there in Sykeston. So,
well, looks like it'll be
some easy ones.
Get my paperwork, all my information, get it in this week, and hopefully get some IRP plates going.
There you go. Spend some big money.
Well, trailer should be here this week, too. It's supposed to be done. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get you these pictures so you can get that all out there. Well, you guys have to look for that. We're gonna have it down there at Louisville, and so
hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Nothing else. I have mine down there, and I'm gonna have some stuff done on it too, because I got to take the golf cart because my fat ass ain't walking around that place.
Well, if you like the ones that he makes for mine, he can make an identical set. You know,
I want to put one right on the back door.
Yep.
Yeah, going down the
just highway, like so. What we're looking at.
Yeah, what we talked about over here. Yep. Yeah. So, well, we're about time to wrap this up, Sunshine.
Sounds good.
Looks like it's the Steve and Dave show this week.
Yeah, I think somebody got stuck on the shitter or something.
Yeah.
I didn't get hold of nobody, so
we'll figure it out. He's been sick about half the week, but shut him down a couple of times. He had to take about a 14-hour nap one day. I'll tell you what,
getting sick on the road is the worst.
I know.
When I worked at Genova, and I can tell you exactly, it was July 3rd because I delivered July 4th and 3rd and the next week after, because I was up in South Dakota to deliver And me and another guy was up there, and it was probably 102. It was hot, windy, and we went to the local Pizza Hut to get something to eat, and they had the doors propped open. And I'm like, what the heck? They're like, oh, yeah, our air conditioner quit. I'm like, oh, God. So we go in there. The salad bar is warm.
Well, imagine.
I get a salad. The other guy don't. I shouldn't have. I think that's what got me. And we ate. The next morning, it was out both ends, and I could not stop. And
Ruffies cleaned you right out.
From South Dakota back to Fort Wayne usually was like a two-day trip. It took me 7 days to get back, and I hit every rest area on the way. And the one rest area, I fell asleep, and I slept for 22 hours, never woke up.
I can't that do that, sick. Man. I don't think I can move.
I woke up in a pool of water, sweat. I mean, because your fever broke.
Sweated it out, yeah.
Oh, my God. And it was just, that's the most miserable I've ever been from food poisoning or anything like that.
That's crazy.
Oh. Well, I wish that on nobody.
No. Like I said, guys, look us up on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X. We're all over the place. You can find us on all those social networkings. You can also find us at Three Fat Truckers. Three Fat Truckers. What is it? .com or no?
.com
Gmail
or gmail.com.
Yeah,
and also you can see us March 26th to the 28th at the Mid America Truck Booth Truck Show, and our booth is 38054. Come see us at the Expo Center.
We're right around the corner from the bathrooms and the food. Next year, I think I'm going
to the beer.
Put us right across from the food and the beer, so we don't have far to walk. And then everybody that comes down there to get some can stop and say hi. So
yeah, we can have all the drugs. Hey, you guys ain't fat. I'm fat.
Yeah. We get a lot of that. So, well, guys, I hope everybody has a safe week this week. We're supposed to get anywhere from a half inch to 700 inches here, so I think we'll be fine. But I hope you guys survive the weather, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Steve, throw us out of here.
Yep. I've been Steve. Thanks for stopping by. Be careful out there with the weather this week. Be smart, people. Be smart and be safe. We'll see you.
Have a good one.
So my husband and I were driving home from a date night, and we were hit head on by a drunk driver. It was awful. And we suffered head injuries, cuts all over, broken bones, and our car was totaled. And the insurance company called it an accident. Anytime it's a drunk driver, that's not an accident. They made a choice to get behind the wheel. So we decided that we were going to get help, and we called the advocates. They took care of everything. They were so great to work with. The settlement that they got for us was really good. It took care of all of those medical bills, property damage, time off from work, pain and suffering, really everything. It was so good. The advocates, they gave us our lives back in a lot of ways.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't pay for someone else's bad decisions. With the Advocates, you won't have to.